Praise God. Oh, the children. Here we go. Praise the Lord. You know, I said to AJ this morning, you know, today is game day. I said, during the week, we prepare in the church. We go to Bible study. We meet. We pray. That's preparation for games day. Today is games day here at the church. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm excited what God is doing. I'm excited what he's going to do for us. And I'm excited what, you know, he brought us from, what he did in our lives, and what he's going to bring us to. Amen? Amen. This week I've been dwelling on Deuteronomy and Numbers and the people of God, the Israelites. And I read in Deuteronomy 11, and God was bringing them through the wilderness. And they began to murmur and complain to Moses. And Moses says, Lord, why you put their burden on me? Just take me out. You know, Moses got so tired, he said, just take me out, Lord. But you know what they said? They said, remember when we was in Egypt. They talked about the melons, Paul. They talked about the onions and the cucumbers. They talked about the fish on the grill. You remember the pastries? How good it was when we was in Egypt. Because God spoke to Abraham. And he spoke about the generation that he will birth through Abraham. And he will bring them out. And he will promise a land for them. The promised land. The land of milk and honey. And as I bring my word this morning, I titled it, Are You Going to Trust Me or Doubt Me? Are we going to trust God with our lives, or are we going to have doubts in our lives? And I wrote some promises of the Lord from the Word of God. And I want you as a church to repeat it. I want you to put this in your spirit. God has promised to provide for us. Say it, church. God has promised to provide for me. Hallelujah. That's Philippians 4. 19. And he says, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Let us repeat that. God has promised to provide for us. My God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Number two. Repeat it. God has promised to protect us. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. So this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. Servant number three. God has promised to prosper us. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Amen. Just put that in your spirit. Put that in your spirit. God has a lot of God has also promises to prosper us. All these are promises along with hundreds or more. God himself signed those promises. You see, doubt is a lack of confidence. Lack of insurance that God will keep those promises. When we question God's willingness or ability to keep those promises, we would sound like this. God will supply all your needs according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But when we allow doubt to come in, we begin to respond like this. No, no, maybe. God will provide our needs. No weapon formed against us will prosper. But maybe he won't protect me. You think? Maybe something bad is going to happen. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. You believe it or you don't believe it? I can see the Israelites when they went in Numbers 13, I believe, that God spoke to Moses and says, pick men, leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, and let them go spy out the land. And he sent them out. And they went and spy out the land, the Bible said, for 40 days. And they came back with a report to Moses and Aaron. Joshua and Caleb spoke the good report. Let's take the land. But the other 10 said there's giants in the land. The other 10 says the wall of their city rise up to the sky. 10 of them, they said that the grapes, it took 2 men to carry in back home with them with 2 poles. The fruit, the ground was fertile to grow. The richness of the land. See, God's plan was to take the land. Take the land. But they came back with a bad report. Sometimes we have an attitude of doubt. Sometimes we can be a born-again Christian. Come to church and still have an attitude of doubt. An attitude that can be traced back to our very walk with the Lord. But it may not be as easy to see in your own life as to see in the lives of those Israelites at the edge of the wilderness. What we find in their choices will help us see our own lives more clearly. I just spoke about Numbers 13. That takes us back to the Israelites, where they were poles between the promised land and the wasteland. Faith is so important, and doubt is so detrimental, that God placed regular tests of faith in front of his children. When he called the Israelites, he said, take the land. But they did not take the land because they allowed doubt and fear to take over them. These are not intent for our failure, but for our success. When the children of Israel were halfway point for their journey, almost ready to enter the promised land, they faced challenges. As we face challenges every day in our lives. But it meant for us and for them our success in Christ. See, the land was not vacant. There was other nations there. And they were going to take the land with God promised. But there were going to be some war. There was going to be some conflicts. There was going to be some hardship. But the question creates a choice. Do we trust and conquer? Or we doubt and despair and be defeated? Moses in Deuteronomy. Recall Deuteronomy 1. He recalls what happened at the edge of the promised land that day, pointing out that God's number one plan was that they will just go up and take the land. Just keep marching. Go right in. Take over it. I have already won the battle for you. You know, God has won the battle for us. March forward. Take over. The victory is yours. Take the land. In fact, God says in Deuteronomy 1, verse 20, 21, I say to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give you. Go up and take possession, as the Lord your God of your father has spoken to you, and do not fear or be dismayed. In other words, don't doubt. You will win the battle. You will have victory. God will take you to this land. But of course, lack of faith, their feet got paralyzed and they stayed where they were. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 26 and 32, nevertheless, will you not go up, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord? And you complain in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. That's verse 27. In verse 28, where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt with fear. And they said that the people are stronger and taller, and the city are larger, and the walls up to the sky. Even saw the Anakites there. Then I say to you, do not terrify. Do not be terrified or afraid of them. And verse 30, the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you in Egypt. He will fight for you in Egypt before your eyes. The Lord God who went before you in Egypt, he fought for you before your eyes. In the wilderness, you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his own son. In all the ways that you went until you came to that place, God will carry us as a man carries his own son. There's a lot of fathers here in this place. And I know if your son got hurt, you will pick him up and you will nourish him and you will love him and you will care for him. And God does the same with you. The Bible says he will carry you as his own son, that he will nourish you, that he will take care of you, and he will heal you. Hallelujah. In verse 32, if for all that you did not believe the Lord your God. The reason they did not take the land was because they allowed the negative report, the doubt to set in their minds. You see, we had 10 who went into the promised land and brought a bad report. We have 2 who came and said, let's take the land. Because God has won the battle for us. See, 2 people can see the same situation and see exactly the opposite. One heart is full with doubt, focused on the abstract obstacles. Another person looking at the same situation, not filled with doubt, but filled with faith, can see an opportunity. Think about how often in our lives we really come right down to it. I'm going to trust God or I'm not going to trust God? Are we going to trust God with our marriage, with our job, with our finances, with our children, with our health, with our sickness, with my fears? And you can add on to the list. Are we going to trust Him, church? Are we going to trust Him? Are we going to believe the word of the Lord and all His promise in the Bible? God bless it and amen. Or are you laying obstacles in situations that fill your heart with doubt? As the children of Israel did when God promised that they will enter the promised land filled with milk and honey. I wrote down here, that's right. That's right. Faith is not a part of a Christian life. Hold on. It's the whole thing. Hallelujah. It's the whole thing. Faith is not like love and joy and hope. Faith is something to add to your spiritual. Faith is not something you add to your spiritual arsenal. You see? But faith is the gun that fires the bullet. Faith is everything. I can trust in God. I can lay hold to His promises. I can lay hold to His promises. The thing about faith is that you can't tell by looking at a person how much faith he or she has. We can't tell. I can't tell by looking at you, you looking at me, how much faith each one of us have. Faith in a person is like a water bucket. You find how much is inside when you bump them. When the circumstances bumps you, you spill. And what you spill you understand? It's like a bucket full of water. And when that person gets bumped, what comes out of them? What they spill out? My next question is, what are you full of? Are you filled with faith that comes out? Are you filled with doubt? And your circumstances bumps you? Doubt comes out? Are you filled with the faith that God has placed in you to take that land? Are you like the Israelites? When they got bumped, they spill out doubt. Are you like Caleb and Joshua? When they got bumped, faith spilled out. Let's take the land. And my notes I got here, splash. So we get splashy all over, right? We all in this room face, at different times through our lives, we face circumstances. All through the Bible we read people's life experience, their face. The widow and her son who were gathering stick to make their last meal and die. In 1 Kings 17, 13, 14, Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you said. But make me a small cake first from it and bring it to me. And afterwards, some for yourself and your son." For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of the flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day of the Lord sends rain upon the earth. The man of God came to that widow, and all she had is a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil, and some sticks to make a fire. But he said, go make some for me, and then some for yourselves. She stepped out in faith, and God will supply all your needs in his riches and glory until the day the Lord sends rain. God will supply all your needs in all the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. In the New Testament, we read about the blind Bartimaeus on the side of the road. In Mark 10, verse 51 and 52. And here comes Jesus down the road. And the crowd is surrounding him. And the blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting on the side of the road. And when he heard the crowd, he asked, who is this? What's the commotion? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is coming. And he cried out, the Bible says, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me, son of David. And it said that Jesus heard and stopped and called him to himself. A lot of people in the crowd try to shut him up. The doubters, shut him up. Shh, shut up. Jesus says to him, what do you want me to do for you? Wow. What do you want me to do for you? And he said that I may see, Lord. And Jesus answered him and said, go your way, for your faith have made you well. And the Bible said that he followed Jesus down the road. I can see Bartimaeus following Jesus all the way into heaven. God will supply all your needs in his riches and glory. We all in our lives experience circumstances in our lives. I can go through this whole room and everyone will share experience they had and crisis they had in their lives. Even my own medical condition, how God really brought me through the valley of death. Because I've been at bedside when people are beginning to depart from this world. And I've seen faithful people, faithful in the Lord all their lives. People I looked up to. Wow, she's a woman of faith. Wow, he's a man of faith. But you know, when you're in that deathbed, your faith is really challenged. And sometimes they believe that God was going to heal them on this side of heaven. But God had other plans to heal them on that side of heaven. I could have easily left this earth that day on August, I think 17. But God had other plans for me. And I live my life every day so grateful that he gave me an opportunity to walk my Christian life out on this side of heaven. Every day I'm so appreciative I get up. And I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I go around the house singing. This morning I was taking a shower and I was singing, victory is mine. Because victory is mine. And I told Satan, get behind me. Because victory is mine. That same victory is yours. In Christ Jesus. We sing unto the Lord. Make melody unto the Lord in your life every day. The Bible says, Lord, that your presence, your glory fills all the earth. And you know, sometimes we open our eyes and we see the circumstances of our country. We see the evil. I'm reading a book now, Marketing Evil, which speaks about the abortion, the homosexuality. Marketing evil. They're marketing it. And the people are being cooked in the pot slowly as they direct them in that direction and begin to accept that evil. The unthinkable. Yes, brother. But God is calling his people to stand up for righteousness and speak into those things that are evil. And we need to stand for justice. Do not allow the church to be cooked slowly. Don't let the enemy begin to cook us slowly and join us with the rest of the world. Because God said, you are not of the world. We are apart, set for God. We are not like them. We shouldn't think like them. We shouldn't act like them. We shouldn't speak like them. He set us apart for his glory and for his honor. We're not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I will share the gospel with anyone, anywhere. I'm not ashamed. We shouldn't be afraid of them. Like he told the Israelites, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of those giants in the world. Don't be afraid of their walls. Take the land. March. He gave us marching order. March. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. That's why the apostles gave their lives for. They were men of God, separated for the calling. Each one has a calling. We have a calling. Each one has a calling. Each one, not the pastor, all of us. Listen, we're in this boat together. If the boat sinks, we're going down. Hallelujah. Yes, praise the Lord. When the apostle was on that boat, they started crying out to Jesus. And Jesus says, what little faith you guys have. You know, praise God. Praise the Lord. Let us be mighty men of God, women of God, mighty women of God. God gives us opportunities to share the gospel. I ran into two guys yesterday in Lowe's. I started sharing the gospel. And you know them. Oh, yeah, I see you later. That's all right. That's okay. You can run, but you can't hide. God's got you. So there's a critical moment. And you must make a critical choice. Either you let your faith grow and flourish, or you choose doubt. You choose the first, you add to your story, you file the faithfulness and the goodness of God. See, I got a story to tell. You have a story to tell. You filed it. You have the story of the goodness and the mercy of God. We got to tell it, church. We got to share it. To those around us. You see? The second choice. When you choose doubt, your faith will shiver up like a piece of leather in the wilderness sun. The circumstances of life either will shrink you or will stretch your faith. Either will better, or you get better, or you get bitter. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Either it will shrink you or it will stretch you. Or you get bitter. Think about the hardest thing that goes on in your life right now. Ask you the question. Is this thing I'm going through, is shrinking me or stretching me? Stretching my faith. Ask yourself, what are you going through right now? Is shrinking me or is stretching me in my faith? And I want to be stretched in God. I want to be stretched in God. I want God to stretch my faith. Because when you walk in faith in Christ, you have His peace. All His provisions are yours. All the promises of the Bibles are yours. Even if the world behind you, the Bible says, even if the mountains taken away, you can stand there in peace. In peace. That your God is faithful. That your God is good. That your God loves you. That your God's going to carry you as a man carries his son. Stand strong in your faith. And I leave you what I began. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against you should prosper. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly with Him. Let them words be in your spirit. Say it to yourself tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Speak it to yourself. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you carry us as a man carries his son. I thank you when we struggle, Father, you nourish us. You embrace us in your arm with your love. You know, all the promises of God are tangible. Like a person hugging you is tangible. And all the promises of God are tangible. And Father, I thank you. I thank you for this body, Hudson Valley Christian Church. I thank you for every believer that will say, yes, I will go in and take the land in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray a blessing over each one of them. I pray that you will bless them, you will keep them, that your face will shine upon them, that your countenance be upon them, Father, that you will fulfill every desire of their heart. And Father, I thank you for your mercies are new every day. Every day, Lord, your mercies are new towards us. And I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Tomorrow we have prayer. First of the month we have prayer here at the church. I want to encourage everyone to come out. And I would just ask the church tomorrow to take a time of fasting and praying for Jacob and for Gideon. Praise the Lord. That's my Spanish. Praise the Lord. But tomorrow, I want to ask this body of Christ, take time. Come before the Lord, before them. Be the intercessor. Stand in the gap for those two boys. That God will have a breakthrough in their lives. That we will see the miracle and the promises of God in each one of them. Tomorrow. Amen. Amen.